So we've talked a lot about American tech CEOs this hour. So now let's hear directly from one. Earlier this year, OpenAI's Sam Altman sat down for a grilling by TED's Chris Anderson. Sam took pains to stress that he's thinking less about geopolitics and more about us, the users. Here he is with Chris on the TED stage in Vancouver in April.
Sam, welcome to TED. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Your company has been releasing crazy, insane new models pretty much every other week, it feels like. But talk about what is the scariest thing that you've seen? Because it, like, outside, a lot of people picture you as, you know, you have access to this stuff, and we hear all these rumors coming out of AI, and it's like, oh my God, they've seen consciousness, or they've seen AGI, or they've seen some kind of apocalypse coming.
There have been, like, moments of awe, and I think with that is always, like, how far is this going to go? What is this going to be? But we don't secretly have, you know, we're not secretly sitting on a conscious model or something that's capable of self-improvement or anything like that. I continue to believe there will come very powerful models that people can misuse in big ways. People talk a lot about the potential for new kinds of bioterror, models that can present like a real cybersecurity challenge, models that are capable of self-improvement in a way that leads to some sort of loss of control. So I think there are big risks there.
Do you check for that internally before release?
Of course, yeah. So we have this preparedness framework that outlines how we do that. And we are very proud of the safety track record.
But we're talking about an exponentially growing power that we fear that we may wake up one day and the world is ending. So it's really not about track record. It's about plausibly saying that the pieces are in place to shut things down quickly if we see a danger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, of course. Of course, that's important. But the way we learn how to build safe systems is this iterative process
right.
of deploying them to the world, getting feedback while the stakes are relatively low, learning about like, hey, this is something we have to address. And I think as we move into these agentic systems, there's a whole big category of new things we have to learn to address.
So let's talk about agentic systems and the relationship between that and AGI. So artificial general intelligence, it feels like ChatGPT is already a general intelligence. I can ask it about anything, and it comes back with an intelligent answer. Why isn't that AGI?
It doesn't continuously learn and improve. It can't go get better at something that it's currently weak at. It can't go discover new science and update its understanding and do that. And it can't just sort of do any knowledge work you could do in front of a computer. You can't say like, hey, go do this task for my job, and it goes off and clicks around the internet and calls someone and looks at your files and does it. And without that, it feels definitely short of it.
But in a world where agency is out there and say that, you know, maybe it's open models are widely distributed, are there red lines that you have clearly drawn internally where you know we cannot put out something that could go beyond this?
Yeah, so this is the purpose of our preparedness framework. And we'll update that over time. But we've tried to outline where we think the most important danger moments are. I can tell from the conversation you wish AI. You're not a big AI fan.
On the contrary, I use it every day. I'm awed by it. You know, I think it's essential to hold a passionate belief in the possibility, but not be over-seduced by it because things could go horribly wrong.
I totally understand that. I totally understand looking at this and saying, this is an unbelievable change coming to the world, and maybe I don't want this. Or maybe I love talking to ChatGPT, but I worry about what's going to happen to art, and I worry about the pace of change. And maybe on balance, I wish this weren't happening, or maybe I wish it were happening a little slower. I think the fear is totally rational, but A, there will be tremendous upside. B, I really believe that society figures out over time, with some big mistakes along the way, how to get technology right. And see, this is going to happen. This is like a discovery of fundamental physics that the world now knows about, and it's going to be part of our world. We have to embrace this with caution, but not fear.
There are two narratives about you out there. One is, you know, you are this incredible visionary who's done the impossible. But the other narrative is that you have shifted ground, that you've shifted from being open AI, this open thing, to the allure of building something super powerful. What are your core values, Sam, that can give us, the world, confidence that someone with so much power here is entitled to it?
Look, I think like anyone else, I'm a nuanced character that doesn't reduce well to one dimension here. So, you know, probably some of the good things are true and probably some of the criticism is true. In terms of OpenAI, our goal is to make AGI and distribute it, make it safe for the broad benefit of humanity. I think by all accounts, we have done a lot in that direction. Clearly, our tactics have shifted over time. I do think it's fair that we should be open sourcing more. I think it was reasonable, as we weren't sure about the impact these systems were going to have and how to make them safe, that we acted with precaution. But now I think we have a better understanding as a world, and it is time for us to put very capable open systems out into the world. But, you know, there's trade-offs in everything we do. And we are one player in this, one voice in this AI revolution, trying to do the best we can and kind of steward this technology into the world in a responsible way.
This was a beautiful thing you posted. Your son, I mean, that last thing you said, that I've never felt love like this. I think any parent in the room so knows that feeling, that wild biological feeling that humans have and AIs never will, of your holding your kid. What kind of world do you believe, all things considered, your son will grow up into?
I remember when the first iPad came out, is it like 15 years, something like that, watching a YouTube video at the time of like a little toddler sitting in, you know, a doctor's office waiting room or something. And there was a magazine, like one of those old, you know, glossy cover magazines. And the toddler had his hand on it and was going like this and kind of angry. And to that toddler, it was like a broken iPad. And she never thought of a world that didn't have, you know, touchscreens in them. And to all the adults watching this, it was this amazing thing because it was like, it's so new, it's so amazing, it's a miracle. Like, of course, you know, magazines are the way the world works. My kids hopefully, will never be smarter than AI. They will never grow up in a world where products and services are not incredibly smart, incredibly capable. They will never grow up in a world where computers don't just kind of understand you. And it'll be a world where, like, individual ability, impact, whatever, is just so far beyond what a person can do today. I think that's great.
Sam, it's incredible what you've built.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
That was OpenAI's CEO, Sam Altman, on stage with TED's Chris Anderson. You can watch the full conversation at TED.com. Thank you so much for listening to our show this week, and Happy New Year. This episode was produced by Katie Monteleone and edited by Sanaz Meshkinpour and me. Our production staff at NPR also includes James Delahousie, Matthew Cloutier, Harsha Nahada, Fiona Guerin, Phoebe Lett, and Rachel Faulkner-White. Our executive producer is Irene Noguchi. Our audio engineers were Stacey Abbott, Becky Brown, and Zoe Vangenhoven. Our theme music was written by Ramtin Arablouei. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, Roxanne Hilash, and Daniela Balarezzo. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.